Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts. And, of course, we always close this segment with the Lord's Prayer. And we lift up people in intercession and ones we know about, don't know about, but because God knows who needs a touch from Him if we'll only ask. So we want to be able to continue with the Word is the way to life. Now, Jesus in John 1:1 was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. But this is the Word is the way to life, and we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes verse by verse by verse for the last few weeks, and we'll continue in for the next few weeks because we're only up to chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Now, the subtitle for this chapter is Wisdom for Life. Hear God's Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. A good reputation is more valuable than most expensive perfume. In the same way, the day you die is better than the day you're born. It is better to spend your time at funerals than at festivals. For you're going to die, and you should think about it while you still have time. Sorrow is better than laughter. Sadness has a refining influence on us. And a wise person thinks much about death, while the fool only thinks about having a good time now. It is better to criticize by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. Indeed, a fool's laughter is quickly gone, like thorns crackling in a fire. This is also meaningless. Extortion turns wise people into fools, and bribes corrupt the heart. Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Well, I love Solomon, as you know. What some wonderful wisdoms for life. Thinking about that. Well, today's passages that I just read focuses on the question, who knows what's good for a person? We looked at that in chapter 6, and then he goes on to say in frequent terms, good and better. And to the teacher, Solomon, the preacher, he's called by a lot of names, Solomon, teacher, or preacher, and it's clear that these are wise and foolish ways of living. And it's true that wisdom even has its limits, but still, some course of actions are better than others. Well, we need to explore the difference between wisdom and folly, and Solomon uses a traditional form, a one-verse proverbial saying, like those in the book of Proverbs. He wrote Proverbs also. And it's interesting how that little catchy little phrase, boom, 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 kind of really ministers to us. But if in the form of traditional, the context of unconventional puzzling, you have to work at making sense of those sayings. When doubtlessness comes in, we have to look and think what the teacher is intended. Now, the question that he said at the beginning of chapter 7 was, the day of death is better than the day you were born. Perhaps the underlying idea is that expressed in verse 8. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. So wisdom takes a long-term view. Just as perfume can lose its fragrance, so you can lose your good name through an act of folliness or wickedness or whatever. And a wise person can be coerced and bribed into acting like a fool. Have you ever been bribed or coerced? My father-in-law told me a long time ago, if you convince a person against their will, they'll be of the same opinion still. So you can coerce somebody into believing what you believe or whatever, but you're still always thinking, well, what is right? It's interesting, this thing called life, isn't it? So if you want to be remembered as a righteous person, it talks about that in Proverbs 10:7, you must remain your righteous conduct until the end, because only when you die is your good name secure. Oh, yeah. from this viewpoint, day of death is not all bad, is what Solomon's saying. And similarly, the unpleasant experience may cause one to wear a sad face, and yet it may be turned out to be good for the heart, because our character grows as a result. You can find that in Hebrews 12. What is unpleasant at the time may benefit us in the long run. That's what he's saying. And he makes a similar point that a painful rebuke can be beneficial when given by a wise person. Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard when a wise person is trying to give you advice or thinking about stuff or getting into dialogue to kind of come to a conclusion or understand different things. And I think that's what Solomon wants us to reflect upon, the morality and the mortality of life. He doesn't literally mean that we should avoid bars or nightclubs instead of spending our days in a funeral parlor. You can look in Acts chapter 2, and it makes it clear he is not against enjoying food or drink or moderately with a thankful spirit. I think we know that nothing on God's green earth will hurt us if we use it the way it was intended and moderately. I think what he does mean is don't be an escapist. Don't use hollow forms of entertainment to help you ignore unwelcome things and good advice or whatever, or to distract you from the thoughts of death. That would be mere frugality. But think about that. You know, it's one thing. There's no absolutes in life, you know. Oh, yeah, there's one. Unless the Lord comes for us first in the rapture, we're all going to die. That's an absolute. And what we got to do, since we know that's going to happen on this side of death, we need to do some preparation, and we need to be concerned about our legacy, if you would. Well, I digress. What sort of wisdom is this? I think essentially it's one that encourages a realistic attitude to life. If wisdom helps us to face facts, even facts we might wish were not true, then it does us a great service. Food for thought. When the word is the way to life. So who knows what is a good person? Solomon doesn't really give us any clues or evidence by his strange but highly practical proverbs, does he? But who knows what is a good person? I think we know if we're a good person or not. Don't we? Well, the word is the way to life is always looking at things, because the world today is awash with various forms of entertainment. Sin, not all of them are good. And it's surely not wrong, though, to relax and enjoy and football games and movies and entertainment and plays and all that stuff. But then when you do some wholesome relaxation, it's wonderful. But if you don't do wholesome relaxation and you get off into some things you shouldn't do it, that's what they call escapism. Even with a diet, I call it comfort food sometimes. If I'm stressed out about a day or something, and I sit down and I get me some comfort food. Well, it's ice cream or potato chips or whatever. It's not so good for Ralphie, but he does it anyhow. But then I paid the price for it with my diabetes. But I love it a butts, but we do it anyhow, don't we? Well, we need to think about that. And we need to think about some ways in which we could make ourselves reflect on our mortality. What value might be there in doing this? Well, you know, it is a wonderful gift, and I've ministered to a lot of people about it. Some take my advice, some don't, but that's okay, because we never know when we're going to go into the next world, is to lay out for your family what you want at your homecoming or funeral service, however you want to call it. It's a wonderful gift for the family to know what you would like to have said about you, or what songs you'd like to sing, and Because it is a time. We, in our United Methodist tradition or Wesleyan tradition, we don't have funerals. We have death, burial, and resurrection services, because the word funeral negates a finality. And we as Christians know if we accept Christ in our life, we continue on with eternal life. Not life like we know here, but life in the heavenlies with God. We live forever, and the choices are where we want to live. If we want to live with God in heaven, or do we want to live in that other place? That's what we got to determine. So, as some preachers say, you need fire insurance. That's Jesus. Well, some of the preachers get a little carried away with that. But if you know that you know that you know that Jesus was raised from the dead and that he went to the cross for you and for me, and then the Bible says you'll be saved. Saved from what? Eternal damnation. Well, that's the word. The word is Jesus, and he knows because he said it, and he is the way to life. Well, we want to always up in prayer our brothers and sisters that we know about that's on our prayer request line and different things, and so we want to take time to do that. So you don't have to have a 1-800 number. You don't have to have a preacher pray for you or anything like that. You can just go and say, Lord, I'd like to crawl up on your lap and I'd like to talk to you. I got some concerns, some prayers, some needs, some wants. And I also want to thank you for the gift of life. Just learn to talk to the Lord. That's all it is. And he's there willing to hear. He gave us a prayer as a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with as we pray in closing the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.